In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. The healing of the born blind wasn't actually a miracle of healing, because the term born blind, it means that someone born without eyes. No eyes. So it's not someone who has eyes that are not working and then there is a miracle of healing to make this eye work, but it was actually a miracle of creation, because these eyes were not there at all. This man was born with two holes in his head and there is nothing inside. So it wasn't just a normal miracle of healing, but it was a miracle of creation. We can't say even it's a miracle, because miracles, you know, make things that don't work work. But this is something that was not there at all, is created for such a man. It's a huge thing. It's a huge thing. But although it was a huge thing, huge deal, it's exactly someone without two hands, and the following day he has two hands. Is this healing? That's not healing. Who created these two hands for him? So the same thing. But even though it's a huge thing, and actually the Bible gives it a lot of emphasis, but not everyone saw it the same way. It was not everyone back then saw this is a huge miracle and it's a great thing. For example, the scribes and Pharisees, they said that Jesus is a sinner right after creating eyes for this man. Why? They didn't see what he did. They saw only one thing, that Jesus did that in the Sabbath. And the law says that no one's supposed to work anything or to do anything in the Sabbath. And therefore, Jesus broke the Sabbath. And that's it. And they wanted to understand why he broke the Sabbath. And they couldn't see what God did in his life and what he did in front of a lot of people and what it means, not only for the born and blind, but for so many other people. Parents of the born and blind should be ecstatic, be so happy, should be marveled. These people should be amazed most, because they saw with their own eyes that this baby was born having nothing in his head, and now he's got two functioning eyes. This is huge. But when they were asked, they said, "We don't know what's going on. We know this is our son. We know that he was born blind. What happened? We don't know." Couldn't say, "This is something amazing happened." Couldn't say, "You know, believe us, this man didn't have anything in his head. Now this is a miracle of creation." They didn't say that. And they didn't see it that way. They were not excited. They were not happy. They were not amazed. Even though the man who doesn't know anything, he's never seen a single person in his life, he doesn't know what eyes look like, he doesn't know anything. When they asked him, "What do you think?" he said, "This is something huge." See what he said. He said, "Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind." He was true. This was the first time in creation that anyone that's born blind without eyes have this creation. Why? Because it's not a miracle of healing, it's a miracle of creation, as I said. The principle here is that God does amazing things in our lives, huge miracles in our lives, even in front of us, even with people around us, with our families, with our friends. And I wonder if we see them all, or we see them at all. I wonder if we see all the amazing things that God is doing. Now, I just showed you that a huge miracle not everybody believes in and not everybody sees. Jesus rose people from the dead. Did that make everyone believe? No. A lot of people still did not believe in him. Why? They couldn't see it. They didn't see it. Amazing things happening, but they don't see it. Could it be the same with us? Can God be doing miracles and amazing things and we don't see it? I promise you, many times people would come to me saying that we have a disaster. And I said, okay, what's going on? And they tell me the disaster. And after they finish, the very first few words that I say that come out of my mouth, I say, thank God for this disaster. You know what? This is the best thing ever happened to you. So how? And then I start to explain how this could be a great thing that God is doing. Sometimes they understand. Sometimes they say, we disagree. We don't see it that way. And maybe later on, they come back and say, you know what? You're right. It was a good thing. It was actually the best thing that ever happened to me. So what's the problem? How come we didn't see it from the beginning that way? Some people even tell others, this is a great miracle. God is doing something amazing in your life. Someone else, how? I don't see it. Where is it? The size of the miracle and the size of the action that God does in our life has nothing to do with seeing it or not seeing it. Some people may say, well, these people have to believe because they saw something huge happening in front of them. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. Jesus rose some people from the dead. And they still kept saying, he did that in the Sabbath. We can see, maybe he wasn't 100% dead. Maybe there is something about it. Maybe the parents are lying. Maybe this man was not blind, and so on. A lot of people, not necessarily that was a huge miracle, was something big that people would believe. But it's the personal encounter with the Lord that what makes it big or small. It doesn't matter if he raised someone from the dead, or he creates an eye for someone, or he even does something very little in someone's eyes. Sometimes, you know, the people who can see God's work in their life, these people are amazing. And sometimes you think they're crazy. Like they come in the end of the day and tell you, you know what? I was worried about going to DC and I didn't know where to park and I was praying for that. And I went there and just once and I arrived to the building, I found someone is leaving and just the parking spot is right there for me. See how amazing God is. And I hear this, these people are crazy. What's wrong with a parking spot? For you, it means nothing. But for them, means a lot of things. Because there is something personal between them and God. Not necessarily with the size of the miracle, but with the eyes that God can give that we may see and understand. Let me give you an example from the Bible to show you. You know Nathanael? Nathanael is one of the 12. Sorry, it's a long reading, but it has something beautiful in it. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said to him, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no deceit. It's a true Israelite. This is a strong man, a strong Jew. Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? Nathanael was a little bit skeptical about the Lord Jesus. Jesus answered and said to him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Said something. He said, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. What is the fig tree? Maybe he was coming from a fig tree. Maybe he was coming that way maybe there was a fig tree in his house. But listen what Nathanael did after Jesus said that. Nathanael answered him and said, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus told him, I saw you under the fig tree. That's it. And the man said a huge proclamation right there. He said, Lord, you are the Son of God, you're God, and you're the King of Israel. Why? What did he tell you? He told you, I saw you under the fig tree. What's wrong with that? Anyone could see anyone under the fig tree? No. That has a secret with Nathanael. Has a secret with him. There's many stories about that. Some people say that he was supposed to be killed with the children of Bethlehem, and then his mom hid him under a fig tree. Some people say that he was meditating under a fig tree and he saw a revelation. Or he had like a great time with God under a certain fig tree that he used to sit. When God mentioned this word, the fig tree, he said, you're God. No one knows this secret except me and God, therefore you must be God. That's it. I know you. This is the hand of God. I can see you. This is the work of God. Amazing. Just two words. I saw you under the fig tree. He didn't tell him, what fig tree? What do you mean about it? Did you mean that incident? He didn't say that. He said, for sure, this is the hand of God. For sure, this man is not just a normal man. He is the Son of God. He's the King of Israel. God does the same in our lives. We may realize it, and we may not realize it. You may see God in your daily life, every single day, in every single action, and you may not even see Him in the huge things that He's doing around you. And let me tell you something else. So many times, God would do a miracle in my life or your life and say, that's it. That's the best. I will follow God forever. How can I ever forget this? God is amazing. God is great. Just a couple years down the road, I look back, or I'm just down, and my faith is not the same, and people tell me, what happened? Didn't you have this great miracle happening in your life? And I look back and I say, I wonder if this was God, really. Was it Him? Maybe it was a coincidence. Maybe it was the doctor. We had a good doctor. Maybe it was the medication. Maybe it was my luck. Maybe a lot of people have the same. Who knows? Can't really say that this was God's hands. That's being blind. That's the total blindness. You think the blind is that someone doesn't see? No. The true blindness, that if we don't see God's hands and God's work in our life day after day. The psalm that was read today was beautiful. It says, for with you is the fountain of life. In your light, O Lord, we shall see light. In your light, O Lord, we shall see light. Big question here. How can we see? How can I see God's work in my life daily? Why don't I see it? What's wrong? I want to tell you something. You know why this gospel is read now? Because usually this gospel is read in the, you know which Sunday? In Lent? Famous Sunday in Lent, the one before Palm Sunday, we call it the Born Blind or Baptism Sunday. The Baptism Sunday. This story of the Born Blind is related so much with baptism. And we read it now because we're close to the Feast of Epiphany where Jesus was baptized. You know why? Because baptism is creating new eyes for you and me. Eyes that can see God. What if someone doesn't have the spiritual eyes that can see God? I'll tell you a secret, don't tell anyone. This person who can see the work of God in his life, it's a secret, don't tell anyone. He's not Christian. He's not baptized. Even if he's baptized, he's not Christian. Because he can't see. Because he doesn't have this eyes that can see God, that can say, this is the hand of God. This is Him. That's why we read it these days. What if I don't see? What do I do? Do I get baptized again? No. But there is actually another baptism, a second baptism. You know what it's called? What is it called? Repentance. The washing. Washes away the sin and the dirt that makes us not see God. Sin is like a big wall between us and God. Makes us hide from God like Adam and Eve. Adam, do you see God? No, I'm hiding. I can see Him. There's no way that someone is living in sin and not living the life of repentance and can say, I see God day to day in my life. There's no way. Sin makes us also lose trust in God. Makes us even judge Him. How can God do this to me? Or like Adam, he told him, the woman that you gave me made me do that. He was judging Eve, he was judging God Himself. How can I believe if I judge Him? How can I see if I don't trust in Him? Let me give you an example. Don't take this personal, okay? But now is the season of taxes. So someone would cheat in taxes. Don't want to give you any ideas how to do it, but, you know, example that someone is cheating in taxes. I'm not going to give any more examples. So there's disobedience here to God and the lack of trust in God. God cannot provide for me. God can take care of me. God cannot protect me from Uncle Sam. Therefore, I have to protect myself. Fine. And then, even though someone did a sin like this, God would come back and reward him, even financially. Give him financial blessing. Can this person ever say that this is the hand of God? No, he can't. He knows that this area is a sensitive area. He knows that this is an area of disobedience. Maybe what I did helped me. Maybe because I'm very smart financially. Can never see the hands of God in his life financially. Why? Because there was disobedience in this. Can never see God's hands in this area. Or at least it's very vague. I don't know, is it from God? Is it a test? Is it for me? What is it? You know, doesn't know. Can't see. Sin in the past also that put lots of walls between us and God makes us not see the work of God in our lives. Jesus said that. He said, first remove the plank from your own eye, and you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eyes. Said, you judge your brother? You have a plank in your eye. You have a big piece of wood right in your eye. That's a sin. Where is the sin sits? Where does it sit? Sits right in the eye. Sits in the eye. Sin is blindness of seeing God's hands in our life. He say, take this out and you will be able to see God's work in your life. Sin makes darkness. But repentance is a new baptism that makes us see everything from God's perspective. Everything is new. Everything is clear. Everything is pure and can really see the hands of God in things. Second thing that helps us see is discovering the disbelief in me and renouncing it. Maybe some kind of event happened in the past that shook your faith. And I kind of brushed it off. I don't want to deal with it. Big problem happened in the past that shook really my faith, and I was never be able to understand or reconcile this with God. I just brushed it off and just left it for the moment. You think time will heal this? No. So many of us walk in the walk of our life was hurt, not only from people, but from God. Hurt that is not dealt with. Where is this hurt going to be? It's going to be infected and it's going to grow unless I deal with it, unless I open it and I say, this is a sore. I remember when this thing happened, I strayed from God. I misunderstood Him. And maybe I blasphemed at this time, but I never dealt with it. I never seek guidance in that. Won't go away unless I deal with it. Who wants you never to deal with it and to cover up on it? Who? The devil wants this to be always dark area. Just don't deal with it. You know, you're never going to understand this. Just leave this aside. But this hurt from the past, from God. There is a lack of trust between me and God because of this. But hide this. Just don't open it. It's a can of worms. Just leave it like this. That's not true. The right thing is to open it up. Even in psychology, when people have problems from the past, what do? Open it up. Talk it out. Let's just get everything out in the clear, in the air, so you can feel good. And so you can feel healthy and you can continue. Same thing. Things against God always defeat one of these four things that we should believe in from all of our hearts. That God exists. God is there. That God is in control. He is the Pantokrator. That's the word in Greek that we always say. The omnipotent. He is in control of everything. Nothing happens outside of his control. And God is good. What we talked about last Sunday. God can never do anything evil. God is the author of good and not the author of evil. He can never do anything evil. And God loves me. Not only that He's good to everyone around me, but God loves me personally. Despite my mistakes and my weaknesses, my shortcomings, God still loves me. If any of these four areas are hurt, there is a lack of trust between me and God. I will never be able to see God's hands in my life, and God's miracles, and God's touch, and God's words, and God's messages that He's sending day in and day out. If I don't believe in these, of one of these, 100%, needs to be dealt with. That's a hurt. That's a disease that needs to be dealt with. There is spiritual counselors. There is spiritual advisors. There is the Father of Confession. There are people who can help you with that. But cover it up as from the devil and not from God. Third point here is protecting my spiritual eyes. What is the spiritual eyes? It's basically the way you think and the way you feel. It's your mind and your heart. And the Bible spoke about the mind and the heart as one thing. It's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful verse that everyone should know. This in Proverbs 4:23 that says, keep your heart with all diligence. Watch out for your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. If you don't protect your mind and your heart, maybe a worm, maybe a virus can come in. I'm saying a spiritual virus. And I can take it and accept it, and I don't know until everything is crashing. We have tons of viruses, not only on the computer, but on the mental and spiritual level. What goes into your hearing and what your mind every day. You may work with a group of non-believers who are cursing God every day, who are blaspheming against God every day. One of two things. Either you are protecting your mind and your heart so well, but this has to be really, really, really hard that you're not affected by that. Or else, you don't really worry about it because you're different and you're not thinking the same way. But some of these viruses come in without you noticing and without you even agreeing on them coming in. But it defiles you. And it defiles the picture of God within you, within your heart and within your mind. And then the way you see God is completely messed up. Gotta watch. With all diligence, keep your heart and your mind. Because out of it, all the issues of life will spring out. I said if you work with non-believers and they are cursing God, then you just gotta protect yourself. But there is another area where you don't protect yourself, and it's just as bad, which is the media. Whatever goes on, I don't care if it's news or whatever it is, but these things pollute the mind, and I keep it, I take it, and I don't protect myself. I don't say, no, this is wrong. That's not what I believe in. Have you ever seen anyone standing in front of the news and say, no, wrong, I don't believe in that? You don't do that. You just hear. You just hear. And then without you noticing, these viruses come in and really pollute the mind. Let me advise you. God told Adam and Eve, see this, it's called the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Don't get near. And don't eat the fruits. Because once you eat from this, your mind and heart will be polluted. It's just a tree of knowledge. Just knowledge. And now is the time of knowledge. The era of knowledge. Why not? Let me know this. Never heard about that. That's interesting. Let me learn. Let me see how people do things. Not good. Not every knowledge is good. This tree was the tree of knowledge between evil and good. God said, no. Why you want to know? Why you want to know? It's going to pollute your mind and your heart. Why you want to know? Just leave it alone. Should I be ignorant? I'd rather be ignorant. This man, who's born blind, doesn't know how to read, doesn't know how to write, but he can recognize the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And those who are educated, those who have all the knowledge, they don't know anything and they never knew God. I'd rather be ignorant of these things. These are not the things that are going to give me knowledge. Got to watch out for these because they pollute the mind. Back in the day of the Christ and the apostles, it weren't any TV or internet or anything like this. But St. Paul said something amazing that I think he wrote it for us these days. In Ephesians 6, he said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Protect yourself so hard. Taking the shield of faith, protect yourself with your faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. The devil is throwing fiery darts on you. Do you understand that? That he is attacking your mind and your heart. I want to tell you something. Every one of us is attacked by his mind. And the more you open the door for more knowledge, the more the attack is coming. He said, protect yourself, put the shield. of faith, and the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication. Pray always that God protects you. Don't sleep if you have something polluting your mind and heart. Finish that. Cleanse that. Because it's going to come back and haunt you, and you will never be able to see God's work and God's miracles and God's presence in your life. Final word here is, when you look at events, look from the eyes of God. You know the bird's eye? He taught us, when you draw from bird's eye, how you see things and how you see things differently. Whenever we see any event, we see how it affects my life. And if it's good for me or bad for me. But God doesn't look at the event that's only revolving around you. God looks at everything. God looks how this is going to affect your friends and your family. God doesn't necessarily want your happiness, but He definitely wants your holiness. So look a little bit from God's eyes. Maybe something that looks really bad to you, but in the eyes of God, it's good, and it brings glory to Him. It brings glory to Him. It's going to affect other people's life. If you don't look at things from the eyes of God, you may not be able to see how things really are. The disciples, when they saw the man who was born blind, they said, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Is something about him?" He said, "No." Jesus answered, said, "Neither this man or his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him, that God may be glorified in him." Maybe there is something that's wrong in your life, but will bring glory to God. Will you accept it and say, "God, let your name be glorified"? As Job, he said, "The Lord gave, the Lord took away. Let the name of the Lord be glorified. Who cares about me? I'm made for Him." When I see things from the points of God's glory, I would be able to see God's work in my life and in the life of people around me. Maybe it's not working out for me now, but later. But definitely, if I see from God's glory, I will be able to say this wonderful, amazing verse: "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God." Let me tell you something new about this verse. I'm sure you heard it many times before. Let me say it in another format. Let me say it from the end. When you love God, and when you care about God's glory, you'll be able to see that everything that God does is good. When you love God, and when you love His glory, and when you care about what He cares about, then will you be able to see everything working out for good. You'll see everything good, and you will be thankful for everything. Because we love His glory, we love His fame, then everything will be fine. Because He is my Father, I see Him that way. May God give all of us the spiritual eyes, the clear eyes to see God, to see His words, to see His presence, His work in our lives. And glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.